Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Ben Trueblood with you alongside John Paul Basham.
Yo.
And new to the show with us every episode from here on out.
Oh boy.
Except for travel and other kinds of things like that. Mary Margaret Collingsworth. Yeah.
Hello.
Everybody give a hand to Mary Margaret. If you're in your car or riding a bicycle, listening to the podcast down the road.
Riding a bicycle.
Give Mary Margaret a hand. Mary Margaret leads the girls ministry for Lifeway students. So we're super excited to have you both on our team and in the podcast.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So tell our audience a little bit about you. Ministry past, some things you've done, what's going on in your life.
Yes. I guess just to kind of sum it up, in college started working with students, honestly thinking I could like hand out pizza or like check the roll, but they asked me to lead a small group and I was like, oh Lord, I don't know if I can do this.
There's some listener going, that's how it started for me too.
And then that my favorite story is that the first Sunday morning I taught eighth grade girls, every prayer request was for a cat. And yes. I was like, Lord, get me out of here quickly, please. And he didn't. And so that led into serving in student ministry for a long time, being a full-time girls minister, went to seminary at New Orleans, and just really have a heart and passion for students. And about 5 years ago, right when I finished seminary, honestly, the Lord pulled me out of student ministry for a while, dropped me into the wild and wonderful world of women's ministry that I had zero desire to be in, but somebody reminded me that they're just grown-up girls. And so I have spent the last 5 years coordinating events for Lifeway for women in leadership, and now I'm taking all of that and just really pouring it back into teenage girls and their leaders and just figuring out ways that we can best help you guys as y'all are listening, the women that you work with, those volunteers that are pestering you going, we need to do more for our girls, please connect them to me. I would love to talk to them. But really just excited about all of that. And so, ministry background, I'm just grateful for the student pastors I've worked with, for just awesome experience in ministry and in church. And so I have had to learn over the last few years what it looks like to be a church member, because I was always a pastor's kid or, on staff at a church. And so now, I'm a church member, and it's kind of weird, but I love it.
Yeah, finding community the old-fashioned way.
Oh, yes.
All that stuff.
Good stuff.
Well, cool. We're super glad that you're here. Glad you're on the team. Glad you're a part of the podcast. If you, as a listener, are looking to start a girls ministry, if you are looking to add on to the ministry to girls that you're already doing, Mary Margaret is a great resource for you. How can they reach out to you? Twitter?
Yes, everything is Mary Margaret C.
Mary Margaret C.
So pretty easy.
All right, so you can find her there. Reach out. We'd love to serve your church in that way as well.
Absolutely. Is it going to stay that way? Because you're very soon. That's not going to apply.
That's
anymore.
True. Right. I know.
Are we 45 days?
45 days till the wedding.
45 days.
Yes, I'm getting married in January. Nice. And I have a countdown by my desk because everybody keeps asking me. And
that's how I knew.
Yes.
The window on my, it's a, anyway, interior office window. It looks literally right at Mary Margaret's desk. So yes. I see the countdown every time I walk out.
Mm-hmm, there it is. And, I haven't decided yet if I'm going to change my, all my stuff. Cause like everything is Mary Margaret. See, I'm 33. So it's like, it's been that way for a very long time now. So I'm like, I don't know about all this, but yeah. I mean, my last name will change obviously to a very short one. It'll be Mary Margaret West. Come January 13th. Yes.
So you're not one of those people.
No, there will be no hyphenation here. No need for any more confusion or more letters to not fit on something.
That would be awesome. So. Just for the sake of the length of name.
Mm-hmm. And my dad honestly got a little, last weekend he looked at me, he said, you're going to get rid of Collingsworth? And I was like, yes, Dad. Yes, I am. So it will always be there in my heart, but just not legally. So yeah.
And as the C on your social media.
Yes, and as the Mary Margaret C on social media.
There
so.
You go. Well, let's dive into our topic for today. As you listen to this podcast, it's almost December, literally right around the corner. Christmas is coming up. And if your family and your student ministry is anything like our families and the students that we see, then you are already in the Christmas rush. Like there's already this air of there's so much to do. There's so much going on. I mean, this year, it may be this every year, but this year I noticed more Black Friday emails
yes.
than ever before. And like I said, that like it may be that way every year. There's just long enough time to where you forget. But this year, I was bombarded with email about sales, and some of them got me, but not all of them. So I'm thankful for that. But you are in the Christmas rush. So we wanted to take this podcast and help you kind of be able to coach the parents and families in your ministry and in your church to have maybe a little bit more of an intentional view of the Christmas season this year. So this is a perfect opportunity for you as a student pastor to send something to the parents in your ministry, send something to the parents in your church that helps them know how to use this season in the discipleship of their kids. So one of the things that we say all the time on the podcast, you've heard us say it before, you've probably heard it outside of this podcast, is that parents are the primary disciplers of their children, right? We've also said before that the one of the issues with that is that many parents have never been discipled. So part of your role is to coach them and disciple them so that they can participate in discipling and the discipleship of their teenagers. And so we want to kind of dedicate this episode to that, focus specifically on Christmas. So at the end of this, our goal is that you would be able to take the things that we talk about on the podcast, add your own, fit it to your context, and be able to send out like this Christmas intentionality guide that parents in your ministry could use to walk through and engage with their kids, maybe in a little bit of a different way this Christmas than they did last. And so the very first thing that we have to talk about is the simplicity of why do we celebrate Christmas as Christians? You have to start there.
Yeah, and part of thinking through that intentionality is just realizing that I think I'm right in saying that most of our American Christian families probably aren't intentional enough at Christmas time.
Yeah, I would say you're right in that. I think probably the most that would be done in a lot of church, if you look at your standard church-going family that a lot of other research would say are nominal Christian attending a couple times a month, right? That the most that would be done would be nativity scene or reading the Christmas story maybe on Christmas Eve or the day of Christmas.
Or just going to a Christmas Eve service right. and letting the pastor do that for you.
Exactly.
That's right. Where the pastor like calls all the little kids up like to the front, the whole thing.
Or like the Christmas pageant at church.
Yeah.
Did y'all have those?
Yeah.
We had the living Christmas tree.
We did too. We had two. Like the two singing Christmas trees.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. So.
Singing Christmas trees?
Yes. They were like 40 feet tall.
You've not heard of these?
No.
The choir, like, they're huge tree. They're literally like 40 feet tall, and they have rows, and the choir gets in the rows, and there's stairs that go all the way to the top.
What? Oh, yeah.
And they're like in the tree, and the person, at least at our church, the person at the very top, right under the star, would always have like the keynote solo that
it was
like,
always
brought
some
the house down.
Fabulous soprano.
That's right.
There.
That's right.
Yes. That just, you were like, yes.
This was like 90s.
I have never seen anything like this. This is the first time I've ever heard of it.
No, it is.
It's a thing.
If you do a living or singing Christmas tree, right now in your church, there's still a ton of churches that do this.
Oh yeah,
you need to let us know. So hit us up on Twitter. Let us know that you do the living or singing Christmas tree.
I think you need to send us
a video
yes. of that key, like the money note from the person at the top of the tree. What if we had a video of just a bunch of money notes, just one
now,
after the next from
the
top of the tree?
That's getting intentional.
Yes.
See.
All right.
Intentional
so
at Christmas.
So if you want to send in your video, and we're talking like 20-second clip here from your phone, don't be like dropping into iMovie and all this stuff, unless you just really want to. So you can send your emails of the money note from the singing Christmas tree.
This is going to be so good.
I can't wait.
No, listen, we'll put some money on the line here. We're going to give away $100 off of to the Student Pastor Network, your annual subscription, for the winner of the Singing Christmas Tree Money Note Competition. So this was not planned at all.
This just became a thing.
I completely love how this happened. So you can post it on social media under the hashtag Singing Tree Money Note, and you can send it to this email that producer Nathan's going to give us right now.
StudentPastorNetwork@Lifeway.com.
Yes. StudentPastorNetwork@Lifeway.com. And or Singing Tree Money Note. So that's the hashtag for this competition. You can't use the dollar sign symbols because that'll end your hashtag. So you've got to spell out the word money. Twitter's expanded their characters so that you have plenty of room here.
And I've just typed it in, hashtag, everything spelled out, Singing Tree Money Note. And it tells me that your search returned zero
yes.
results. So this is a...
Fresh.
This
fresh
is our hashtag. Fresh. Our hashtag.
Hashtag.
I love this. This is the best thing we've ever done.
You're welcome.
Watch it. You have to participate, faithful podcast audience. So you're looking for the Singing Christmas Tree. Get the video. Post it to Instagram. Send it to us via email, studentpastornetwork@lifeway.com. We're going to give away $100 off an annual subscription to the Student Pastor Network for the best Christmas tree, singing tree, whatever this thing's called. I've already forgotten. Singing Tree Money Note.
So as we've chased this fantastic, and it is a fantastic rabbit trail that we've chased, this actually serves us well in our podcast, because the next question behind why do we celebrate Christmas as Christians on our show notes here was how do we get off target? So how do you guys think Christian families, you know, dedicated, let's say we've got the family that is the average attender, they're in Bible study, they're even eating a Wednesday night meal, paying their $5 due to have their meatloaf on Wednesdays. How do we get off target in the middle of what could be such a focused season?
I think part of it is just that we have a really hard time saying no to good things. And especially this time of year, there's so many opportunities, so many, whether it's performances that your kids are in, whether it's activities at church, whether it's Christmas parties, or, you know, just stuff that's going on. It's like the calendar fills up so fast. And at some point, I think we have this really difficult time with saying no to good things. And so, you know, because right now there are a ton of those opportunities. And so I think just taking a step back and relooking at things to ask some questions about what's going to create the most value, the best experience, you know, the things that are going to be long lasting. I think we've got to start asking questions before we put things on our calendar. But that's, you know, one way that we get off target is just by there's just too much going on.
Yeah, the busyness is a big deal. I think it's important to note here that that we're not dogging this family. Like when we said that, you know, they might go to the Christmas Eve service or put out the nativity or like the average kind of, like we're not saying, yeah, these horrible people.
Right.
We're just saying that this has gotten to the place in our culture where this is just kind of the standard thing. And we want to help you be kind of the defibrillator of the Christmas season in your church culture. Culture? Defibrillator was so hard to say that I messed up the word culture.
Got you but all off culture.
Got me up. That's right. It did. We want this to kind of be a shock to the system, to help people kind of raise their heads up and say, oh, we have gotten really busy and it's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no to the good things. Like for us right now, we have a middle schooler, an elementary age, and then two preschoolers. And our calendar is already filling up between work stuff and school stuff and church stuff for all of our family, that my wife has gone in and put an all-day event for 2018 December. And all it says on our family calendar right now is nope. To remind us next year when we get there, that it's okay for us to say no to things. And I think that is such an amazing point of view to take, and something that you can help families in your church, that it's okay to say no. And there's always this, I'm about to say something that as a student pastor, you probably have zero control over. So like, don't get bitter at what I'm about to say, but if you have the freedom in your meetings to be able to talk about the church calendar for a family, I think from a church staff perspective, we, and I can say we, looking back on my time at church, on a church staff, we could have done a better job, I think, stewarding the time of our families, even in church stuff that we planned.
Yeah, and I like that you've, the way you kind of qualified how we're going about this conversation and not dogging that family. I think really, like we've done in a lot of areas, what we want to do is ask the question, and hear this right as well, because this can sound contradictory. A lot of times, what we don't do is ask the question of, can we do more? And by that, I don't mean, can we physically go and do and be a part of more things, but as we think spiritually and through the lens of spiritual intentionality, can we be more intentional? Can we think through this in a deeper way? Can we add more elements that will help us focus on the Lord into the things that we're doing in our families, to really dig into why we're doing the things we're doing?
Yeah. I you know, that question of what gets us off target, I get that our culture is consumeristic and there that, you know, everything is about what sales are going on right now and things like that. And I understand that. And I see that. I also haven't been one of these people that's been like super bitter against the culture. Says, oh, like it's just all consumerism and we should boycott everything and just go hide in our house. Like, that's, I'm not there either. But I do believe that something that gets us off target is the gift, the Christmas gift, and just thinking and laboring over, you know, what am I going to get? And what am I going to get for somebody else? And what am I going to get for my kids? And how are they going to do this? And that whole process of that consumer part of what Christmas is in American culture, I think does throw us off target.
Yeah. And I think one way that you guys, and when I say you guys, student ministry leaders, can help parents in this is just kind of giving them some guardrails for how you talk about the Christmas season with your kids, with your students. So some of that, like in that gift conversation, okay, why are we going to receive gifts in the Christmas season? Why are we going to give gifts in the Christmas season? Which leans into this, you know, hey, student, if you are in March saying, hey, mom and dad, for Christmas, you know, in December, will you get me this thing? Then you know the whole gift conversation is off target, probably.
Yeah.
So how do you talk about those things? How do you communicate the reason why you're giving gifts? I'm with you. I think it's totally fine. I think it's a good thing. It's a fun thing to give your students gifts.
Yeah.
And to give other people gifts. And so I'm not going to dog a family that I know a family that says, man, no gifts. We're not doing any gifts because we want to focus on Jesus. We do enough gifts just throughout the year. That's fine for them. I don't think there's anything wrong. Do y'all think there's anything wrong with giving your kids gifts at Christmas?
I don't. I think it's, so back to our word of the day is intentionality with Christmas this season. So generosity and gift giving is woven into the DNA of what it is to be a person who believes in the gospel. I mean, that Jesus gave himself as a gift. God the Father was generous in sending his son to us. And then the testimony of Scripture is that he leads us to be generous, gift-giving people. We are to be giving. We are to put others' needs before ourselves. And I think if you use that moment, it's an easy connection to the gift that is the gospel. So I think it's good to be generous. I want to give my kids awesome gifts because I want them to see the generosity in that. And I want the generosity to be celebrated alongside of the gift that's given. So I think there's two tracks there that we can run on.
You know, and I'm not a parent, but just in watching some of my friends parent their kids, and in watching how my parents still parent, you know, me and my brothers and all of those sorts of things, just I think the thing that I love so much is when I know that somebody really thought about something, that it was, you know, it was a gift that was given with intention and with me in mind, or a need that I have in mind, and not that somebody just because they spent $50 on everybody found something else to add up to $50 so that they spent $50 on me too, or what, you know, whatever that means. Cause I think that's where we get caught up sometimes, is this idea of fairness or of trying to balance the scales so that everybody's happy, and we end up just buying stuff at Walgreens, you know, or CVS on Christmas Eve, you know, to load in the stockings because you're just supposed to do it. And I think we've got to change the mentality from this is what everybody else does to asking the questions, why do we do this and what's the purpose behind it? And, you know, not that it's all a serious moment the whole time, but that you are having those conversations where everybody's getting on the same page about why you do what you do, not just you don't just do it because it's what everybody else does. Yes,
I'm so glad that you said it's not that it has to be a serious moment all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think when we talk about things like Christmas, and even to an extent with Halloween, it's like it either has to be all Jesus
yeah.
and none of this other stuff, or all of this other stuff. And it doesn't have to be that way.
No.
Like you can still have fun and
oh, yeah.
throw wrapping paper around and decorate the house and do all of these mm-hmm. things, and still at the same time have those intentional conversations.
Yeah.
And for the sake of this context, encourage your families and the parents in your church to treat Christmas in this way. And even something that you can provide them is, what are some activities, some fun games, some things that families could do together to have a little bit of fun at Christmas, along with the intentionality of pointing people to Christ?
Something, Ben, that you mentioned while we were talking about this episode was what your friend Chris does.
Yeah.
In talking about gifts. Tell that story.
Yeah. So Chris, and I don't remember the exact number. So it's either fill a container or it's an exact number of toys. But something that they do to reinforce giving and generosity with their kids is to, before Christmas, at some point, their kids choose, again, either to fill a container or an exact amount of toys from their room to give to other kids as a part of Christmas. You know, so they'll like partner up with a local organization or whatever and take the toys there that'll distribute them as far as that goes. But it's an opportunity to serve with your kids, and it's an opportunity to reinforce that generosity and that giving. And as a side note, it's an opportunity to also get some of the stuff out of the house because things just accumulate. But in that moment, you can teach really what it means to give, because like I'll have stuff under the tree that my kids get me, so to speak, but it'll be things that Kristen has picked out and like put under there from the kids, right? And it was the same thing when I was a kid. Like I got my dad stuff that my mom, you know, picked out for me or whatever. And so that's not really teaching generosity and giving in the same way as, man, I'm choosing to select this thing that I've known and loved and played with, and I'm going to give that. And so it may look different from parents to teenagers in helping them choose something to give, or like it you may not be able to copy paste that same exact example for a family with teenagers, but the principle is still there in finding unique ways to involve the kids, the students, in giving as a family so that you can reinforce that again.
Yeah, even if you went out shopping as a family for your students to buy gifts to give to somebody else, you know,
yeah.
not in the family, but hey, we as a family are going to invest in another family.
Yeah.
Or even like a super easy one is Operation Christmas Child.
You're right. We did it this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Super easy.
Oh, yeah. And there's so many organizations, you know, shelters, local places that you can go and get a list of things that somebody, you know, that's right around the corner from your house is in need of this year. And you can go shop together as a family and put that together and, you know, deliver those gifts. And just to instill that it's not just about what we're getting, but what we're truly giving to others and making a difference that way, too.
Yeah.
So I think there's some other things that can be done, too, that are kind of the run up to Christmas Day. What part of that could involve, you know, shopping leading up to Christmas for another family, but also, I mean, I've heard people talk about the way that they, you know, when they decorate their Christmas tree, which a lot of people do, you know, the day after Thanksgiving. What do the lights represent? What do the ornaments represent? Using an Advent guide all through December to lead up to who Jesus is and why we're celebrating him and what all of that looks like. Having traditions like singing hymns together, having traditions like reading the Christmas story. There's so many things that families can do together just to spend the whole month of December pointing to Jesus that I think can be really special. And that's something that a student ministry leader can make a part of an intentionality guide, like you said, Ben, to help parents do some of these things. Because like you said, a lot of us did not grow up having these kind of traditions at home. So a lot of times it's like, man, I don't even know where to think, you know, or what examples to even follow in this. So if we can give families some of those things in an easy way, then that's just another way to kind of help them step up their own discipleship game at home. One of those being the Advent guide, we can offer you for free as a part of Explore the Bible. Jesse Campbell wrote an Advent guide.
Yeah, it's essentially lifeway.com/explorethebible. And you can click on additional resources and it's right there. But we'll have the direct link to it. Producer Nathan's going to come through with the direct link.
Have you guys used an Advent guide leading up to Christmas?
I have. And honestly, I think there's, you know, there are books you can buy. There are different things you can, you know, kind of dive deeply into, you know, and my church has done, or different churches I've been at have done the four candles, you know, that represent the four different things, during the Christmas season and during Advent. And, you know, and I kind of one year just kind of on my own, you know, did my own little study of those words and what they meant and how it fleshed itself out, or, you know, did, you know, just a devotional guide through those days. And honestly, I was down in our Lifeway store the other day and there were a ton of those options, you know, so like there are things out there that you can practically go into a Lifeway store today or somewhere like that. You can find online, you know, that will walk you through a process. If that's, you know, if that's something, you know, maybe the families in your church are ones that are, you know, you may have a lot of families that are new to Christianity or to walking this thing out or to teaching, you know, and discipling their own kids. And so, you know, give those resources to those families and make sure that they're in front of them or they know where to go get them or how to find them. You know, but that for me, it just, you know, one of my friend Amy said it this way. She said, it just sets my heart right for Christmas, you know, to really focus on the things that are so important and focus on the things that are, you know, are the reason why we celebrate, but it's so easy to get distracted from, but it kind of, we have to make sure that we're continually realigning ourselves back to the reason why we're doing all of this in the first place.
Yeah. I think the Advent guide is something that's really special. We didn't do one growing up. But we've done one the last 2 years, and this is a moment where I'll brag on Kristen. She wrote the one that we use, and it traces the lineage of Christ all through the Old Testament. And so she wrote and tells the stories of major characters in the lineage of Christ leading up to Christmas Day. And we have a Christmas tree, and she bought ornaments that represent each one of the stories of the people that she, you know, so all of the stories have an ornament that goes with them. And so
that is so
it's
cool.
It's a visible way that our kids, so like, it'll, you know, it'll be like, we'll hold the ornament up. Hey, do you remember what this ornament was? And they, you know, I would be lying if I said they knew it every single time, but through repetition over the month, they get to where they can name in order a lot of Christ's lineage and the major players throughout those stories. And so I had zero to do with it. She did awesome and took it on herself to do a project a couple years ago, and our kids love it. And man, that's what we've used. And it's been a really cool discipleship thing. And it's just 5 to 10 minutes every night during the year and during the month. And that's it. So we're going to wrap the podcast by giving you the Holiday Christmas Intentionality Guide. All right. So if you're thinking about it in terms, and we can put this, we can post this for you as well. But if you're thinking about it in terms of an outline of something that you can like email to your leaders, first big bullet point in how to be intentional with the Christmas season is guiding them in how you talk about Christmas. So give them some pointers on what Christmas is about, what the main focus of Christmas is. And you're going to have families that already know the answers to those things, but it doesn't hurt to put them in. Don't assume that you can just skip over that, because those first two questions of what's Christmas about and what's the main focus set the foundation for the rest of it. And so if you get the parents beginning to think at the beginning, this is what it's about, then that'll help you as they walk through the rest of this framework. So how we talk about Christmas, and underneath that, what is Christmas about? What's the main focus? Talk about gifts and how to, and coach them on how to draw those gifts to the gospel and giving and generosity. How to look at the world through this Christian filter that we've been given. Like, what are some things that are drawn out in our culture about Christmas, and what are some things that our faith in Jesus draws out about Christmas, and have conversations about those. So maybe some discussion questions that you can give in that moment. And then the calendar, and how, give some pointers on how to be a good steward of time in that season. Some things that your parents can think about, and then help them develop traditions. So like all of us said, we had some traditions. There are others that we're doing now, and there are others that, you know, we look back and say, oh, that would have been a cool tradition to have. So an Advent or some type of Bible study that goes through that can be one of those. We mentioned the one about choosing gifts to give away, serving with your family during the season. So what's something that is busyness on the calendar that you can remove and replace with serving together as your family? That would be a good replacement. So those are some thoughts in how to build this Christmas intentionality guide that you can minister to the families of your student ministry, perhaps in a different way this year, and to begin to get them thinking in a different way than perhaps they have in the past.
Well, you've got about a day and a half to write this guide to get it out on time. So you better get off this podcast and get to working.
That's right. Hey, and you don't have to start on the first. You can start next week or whenever, but send it out soon, and I hope that this has been a benefit to you. Remember to send in your Singing Tree Money Note competition entries. We're giving away $100 to the Student Pastor Network. That's hashtag Singing Tree Money Note.
What's the deadline? When are we going to get these by?
That's a that's a great, see, having a woman on the
You're
podcast
welcome.
Is
You're
paying
welcome.
Off already.
Well, we need to get past when people would have the actual singing tree.
December 31st.
Okay, by the end of the year.
Yeah, by the end of the year. Your trees should be taken down and disassembled by December 31st. So, and if your church
Even
doesn't
do
this.
The human ones in the sanctuary. Here,
this is going to be great, right? If you don't do the singing tree, but you still want to compete, you performing a money note in the top of a tree will serve as an entry.
Well, maybe even be a better candidate than
than the actual money
than
note.
Than the church program money note.
All right. So that's the competition. Either yourself up in the top of a Christmas tree singing your heart out.
Somebody's going to be in the top of a pine tree just.
I hope so. And or at your church, the winning entry will receive $100 off your annual subscription to the Student Pastor Network. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Mary Margaret, we look forward to spending many more podcasts with you.
And many more.
And we'll see you next time.